Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. So that's an interesting phrase. Why do you think Paul refers to himself as a prisoner of the Lord? Anyone? He refers to himself as a prisoner of the Lord. And he refers to others who follow as prisoners of the Lord. All right. We'll keep reading. With lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body, only one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So that's something that's very important to remember, is that, you know, in the things that we do, we don't try to make ourselves anything by what we do or how we operate, or we think that we have to do so much and worry about our works. But we know that when we are forgiven, it's by the grace of Christ. And it's not by our own gifts, but as the Bible says, grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So when we pray for things, when we look for things in our lives, we're not looking at our own abilities, we're looking at the ability of God. So whenever you pray for something, whenever you're believing for something, it's the ability of God. It's not your own ability, it's not your own, you know, way that you want to do something. It's not how strong you are, it's not how tough you are, it's not how patient you are. It's not how loving you are, but it's the love of God. It's those attributes of God. And it's by His gifts that you are to fulfill things. So grace is given to us by the measure of the gift of Christ. And whenever you ask for something, just ask for it by the gift of Christ. Because you know within ourselves we're not worthy. But if we know that the Bible is telling us right here, we're given according to the given grace and other things according to the gift of Christ. And, you know, there's gifts can be inconsistent because sometimes, you know, people can be good drawers, but maybe, you know, one day they're not in the mental space, or sometimes even athletes can have performances and they can be, you know, known as very good athletes, but then one day they're just not playing as well as they used to. But the gift of Christ is consistent. It doesn't matter what day it is, what time it is, what part of the world you're in, His gift is going to be consistent. So if there's anything we can hold to, it's going to be Christ, because he's the only constant in this world. And everything else can change, everything else can fluctuate. Sometimes you think something's going to happen exactly a certain way, it just doesn't happen that way. But the gift of Christ is always going to be consistent, and you can always depend on Him. In verse 8, wherefore He saith, when He ascended up on high, He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that He ascended, what is it but that He also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? That He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that He might fulfill all things. And He gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and some teachers. So once again, the gifts that are given of God. So even the preachers and the apostles and prophets and all those people, they're first and foremost beholden to God. Even Brother Branham always talks about the absolute and how the Bible is the absolute. And he always says, you know, if something's wrong, if I say something off, check it by the Bible. Because he always wants to be in line with the Word. So if you see something, if Brother Branham says something and it might seem off, you know, check it with the Bible. See what the Bible says. And he's the prophet, so more than likely the Bible will line up exactly with it, or it was revealed to him in the scripture, or usually he'll point out a scripture. So you look for, you know, if it lines up with the Word. And God gave him the gift, and he was the end time prophet, so you can you know, check for yourself. It's always good to, you know, sometimes we, especially those who grow up in it, we kind of just accept it, and we accept it, and like, of course, but sometimes it's good to just look it up for yourself and see, oh, well, it really is there, you know? And it's good to have faith, but it's also good to know exactly where the word says it, you know, because sometimes someone might challenge you on it, and you might not have the exact scripture, even if you believe it, even if it's true. But sometimes it helps other people as well. If you get asked a question, you can point to the scripture, and not just say, "Well, Brother Branham said this," but you also point to the scripture that confirms it. So, and all the gifts are given. So even when even if a gift that you have, maybe it might not be a prophet, preacher, evangelist, teacher, but if you have a gift of God, if you can sing, if you can play an instrument, if you're good at, you know, talking to people, or maybe you're just good at one-on-one conversations, or even if you're good at a trade or a skill or woodworking, or maybe at your job, you know, maybe you have a gift for something at your job that you do, you know, and just to be an example of a Christ in that position, just to be an example of a Christian wherever you work and wherever you go to school, and that's a gift as well. Just being able to stand, you know, for the word no matter where you are, that can also be a gift in a ministry. So, and when you're going through those things, you also want to lean on the gift of God, lean on the gift of Christ, and not to your own strength, not to your own faithfulness, but to God's faithfulness. And that's what happened with, it was a few weeks ago, when Sister Melissa told her testimony, when she was talking about how, you know, in the hospital, she just really wanted to wear a skirt, and so she didn't think anyone would really care that much. So she just went and asked her boss, and she said, "Hey, I just really want to wear a skirt." And they opened up the avenue for her, and now they're making a whole new line of, you know, skirts for the women who want to wear skirts. And that little thing came out of her just wanting to be a representation of Christ where she was. So now there's a whole bunch of women who can now, you know, maybe they're not Christian, but they're Muslim or whatever they may believe. Now they can all wear skirts because one person decided to just ask a question, you know, and wanted to stand for what they believe. So you lean to that gift, you lean to what God says, even if it might seem crazy, if it might seem like it won't work, even if it might seem off in some way, you lean into the gift of Christ and the gift that he's given you to live the word, even when you're just trying to live the word right. Just lean on his gift, lean on his strength. In verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And that's what some people don't quite understand is that, you know, we're not really, when we listen to preachers, and some people who aren't Christians or we don't go to church don't fully understand it, but when you listen to preachers, we're not depending on, you know, the man up there, but we're depending on the gift that God gives him. We're depending on, you know, believing that he has a gift, and that God's given him a gift, and that God has given him something to tell us, and it could speak to us personally, and believe that God's working through that. So it's not the man necessarily that we're listening to, but it's the gift inside of him, it's the God inside of him that we're trying to listen to and get to talk to us personally, and hear that. So, and some people get so, you know, fixated on who's preaching and what's going on, but really it's the gift that they have that we want to speak to us personally. So don't get too fixated on the man. Some people get so fixated on, you know, like Brother Branham's life or things or even any other preacher and what they might have done or what happened, but just pray that, you know, while they're up there on the pulpit, that God is using them to speak to you. And they're leaning on the gifts of Christ. In verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, but by the sleight of man and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie and wait to deceive. So the only way to avoid the cunning craftiness of men is to rely on the gift of God. So, you know, as we know, not everyone who goes up and says something is necessarily right. There's going to be, you know, there's going to be false preachers. The Bible says there's going to be false preachers, false teachers, false prophets. There's going to be all those things. We need to have our own revelation of what the scripture says and rely on that gift, and also, you know, relying on the gifts of God to avoid the craftiness of man. Because, of course, we know there's many churches who preach many strange things, but we need to rely on what God says and the gifts of God, and not on what, you know, someone might be a really good speaker, but they're not really following the word the way they should. So we rely on the gift that's given of God, and not just on what a man is saying. In verse 15, speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And that's an interesting statement, you know, because when you think about a body, and it says it's edifying itself in love, and you speak the truth in love, you know, and the whole body is fitly and formally and compacted and joined together. Every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. So every individual part of the body has what another part of the body needs. Everything's fitly joined together. Everything is, and it's saying it's edifying itself in love. So when you think about just the body of Christ and how we're all part of the body of Christ, you know, and when you talk to each other, and when you talk to someone who believes the word, and maybe you say something that helps them, or maybe you just have a good conversation about God, you know, that is the body edifying itself, you know, because it helps you, it edifies you to help others. We're all part of the same body. So if someone else is succeeding, if someone else is happy, then we're happy for them. If someone else is, you know, upset maybe, and something's happened in their life, then we feel for them. So just continuing to, you know, keep the things that you say holy, and keep things that you say, you know, in a positive light, is edifying yourself. Helping others, helping your brothers and sisters, is the same as edifying yourself. It's just as good as edifying yourself. And now, as we know, the tree doesn't bear fruit for itself, but it bears fruit for others. The tree will never partake of the fruit, but those who do will be edified. So it's the same with the body of Christ. When you edify your brothers and sisters, you're also edifying yourself. And the same, similar to like if we were all like on a team, you know, we're all on the same team, we're all for the same, we have the same goal in mind. And each piece, there's no piece of advice that was giving us an advantage that we would want to withhold from a team member, because we all want to win the game, we all want to win the race, whatever the case may be. So if there's any even little piece of advice, anything that might help somebody, you know, we're not going to withhold that information. We're going to tell them, because we know that it's going to benefit the whole team. It's going to benefit the whole body. And to benefit your teammates, to benefit yourself. So it's the same with the body of Christ. The body will edify itself in love, as the scripture says. Verse 17, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, whose being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. So verse 22, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. So who is the old man?
Your old self before you got saved.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you, Zoe, for answering the question. In verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So who's the new man?
The new you after you've been saved.
Amen. So the old man and the new man are still you. But The old man is before you accept Christ, and the new man is after you've accepted Christ. Because we know, as we know, and this is why it was such a contradiction, it was such a hard thing for Nicodemus to understand. He's saying, how can a man be born again? But the old man is, you know, before you receive Christ, and the new man is when you receive Christ. And that's actually how Christ saw you before the world began, was you, you know, as a vessel for him, as a perfect vessel. And let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 10. There, for chapter 13, verse 10. So verse 10, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. So what childish things did Paul put away? What are those childish things?
Disobeying God's word.
That's true.
How he would like persecute Christians.
That's true as well. Anyone else? Well, I find this scripture interesting because he says, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, and I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. But he says, I spake, I understood, and I thought. Now, these are things that, you know, the old man did, but these are also things that the new man does. Because when you get older, when you mature in Christ, you don't stop speaking, you don't stop understanding things, and you don't stop thinking. But it's doing the same things, but doing them correctly under the leadership of God. So he understood as a child, he thought as a child, he spake as a child, but once he has a new life, once God enters his life, He's still doing the same thing, but he does them differently. He does them for the glory of the Lord. So these people who, you know, have talents, and maybe they sing, and maybe they have a gift of talking, or even make people laugh, or whatever the case may be. And when God comes into your life, you're still you. He doesn't take those things away. He changes your nature, but he doesn't take you away. It's still you. So you're still going to do those things, whatever you did before. You're going to do those things after, but you're going to do them under the leadership of God and according to his word. You're not going to do anything that would, you know, disobey his word. Like maybe if someone, you know, maybe they're a funny person and they tell jokes, but maybe there are some type of raunchy jokes. Once they get saved, they might still tell jokes, but it'll be different. It won't be unholy or, you know, those like nasty jokes to hurt people's feelings, but it'll be, you know, jokes just to try and make people laugh. Or even if someone sings, they might sing different songs, people who listen to different artists. But once they get a revelation, they sing cleaner songs, they sing Christian songs, and they're still doing the same things, but they're doing it under the leadership of God and according to his word. So it might be an old man and a new man, but it's still you, and you're still gonna be doing things but you're gonna be doing things, you're gonna change your mode of being, you're gonna change the way you operate in the world, even if it's the same things you're doing, but it's going to be under the leadership of God. And so it's going to be you, but it's going to be for God and his glory. Let's go back to Ephesians 4. Verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. That's another part where it's like we're the body of Christ. So if you edify yourself in love, and when you edify someone else, you edify yourself. So I was saying, speak truth, because we're members of one another. So you wouldn't lie to yourself. It wouldn't end well for you. You wouldn't do evil to yourself. You wouldn't, you know, that's why the Bible says, you know, Christ, you know, loved the world, and we're supposed to love each other that way, the way he and love each other, you know, almost more than we love ourselves. And 26, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of the edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. So he's just more talking about we're all this part of the same body. And you know that the way we would treat ourselves, and it would just be good for everyone, you know, to benefit you, to be good to others, would benefit you to tell the truth, would benefit you to do all these things that you would do for yourself, that we should also extend that grace and that kindness unto others and not just keep it for ourselves. In verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. And that's a real thing that's sometimes hard to comprehend, but we can grieve the Holy Spirit of God. We can grieve God through our sin, through our disobedience of the word. You know, the Bible says that he's a gentleman, or Brother Brandon says he's a gentleman, and he's not going to force your door open, he's not going to force you to follow him, but he's a gentleman, and he's going to wait patiently. And that, you know, when you do things that are upset, you know, it grieves him. The same way, if you had a friend and you did something they didn't like, you know, maybe they make them upset. It's that same thing where if we have a relationship with God, we don't want to grieve him, we don't want to upset him, we want to do everything according to the scriptures. And verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. God bless you, Smith.